Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 4. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and having a Bible character study on the person of Ruth. And what a blessing it has been going through and just seeing how that God reached out to a lost Moabitess who was raised to believe in Baal, had no belief in the Creator God until God used a backslidden Christian family, if you will, or a family that believed in Him. And through all of that, we find that Ruth looks to the Creator God to be her God. And she follows Naomi back to Bethlehem. And there she realizes that God has a plan and that God had a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, that could redeem not only Naomi, but could redeem Ruth as well. And so she became part of the lineage of Christ. Now think about that. That's still just shows you what kind of love God has for all humanity. God is no respecter of persons. God loves the world. That's all people of all different nationalities around the world. God, Jesus Christ, died for every lost soul, no matter where they're at, no matter what's taking place in their lives. And we have that because of Ruth. She would be symbolic of the Gentile bride of Christ, Boaz being the symbolic of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so it's been a tremendous book. I trust you really have gained a lot of helpful biblical principles through the life of Ruth. But we are coming to the end. Tonight's not the end, but we're close, all right? I don't know just how many more messages God would have us to receive out of the book of Ruth, but we're in chapter 4. We're reading verse 9 down to verse 12 tonight, the last chapter of the book of Ruth. If you will stand with me, we'll read starting in verse 9, and we'll read down to verse 12. Verse 9, "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." Yeah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, thank you, Lord God, for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church and for all that are here that took advantage of it, what we already received up to this point. But now, Father, as we've opened up your word and we study this passage of Scripture, I know you have a message for each one of us tonight. You have what each one of us need to draw closer to you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to put everything else out of our minds and that we would stay focused on the very words that you have preserved for us and the preaching of thy word tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. He has redeemed Ruth and the family of Naomi. Of course, we've already studied a lot of this, but we find here that the motivation, Boaz's motivation, was that of love and that of grace. Of love, as we look there in verse 10, and the Bible says, "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife." And he had a love for Ruth. He desired Ruth to be his wife. And he knew that it was within God's will as he would be the kinsman redeemer of Naomi. And so we find he had a love for Ruth to take her to be his wife. And he also had grace to give life where death reigned in the seed of Mahlon. Because if he had not redeemed the seed of Mahlon, then Mahlon would not have had any sons and would not have had his seed moving on. And so that's what we find there in verse 10 as well. The Bible says, I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead, Mahlon, Elimelech's son. Okay, Elimelech died and then Mahlon died. There was no other seed to raise up and to continue their seed line. And so we find here it says that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. So we find here two different things of this kinsman redeemer. He had a love and he showed grace to this family of Elimelech. He had a love for Ruth. He wanted to marry her, and he had showed grace to this family of Elimelech. And he was going to raise seed, not with his name, but he would raise seed for Mahlon out with Ruth. And so love and grace. Now, I love that because that's exactly what Christ, our Redeemer, has showed us. Amen. You are loved by an almighty God. You're loved by a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He wants you to be his bride. Amen. And we will be the bride of Christ. And we'll see all that and put all that together after this church age. But we will be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be the bride of Christ that will come back to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years in that millennial reign. And we're not going to get into that. That's not the message tonight. But the idea there that he has a love for us and he has shown grace. Grace. Now, I love it because Ephesians in chapter 2, let me just read it to you. This is just the beginning here. I want you to understand who our Redeemer is and the love and the grace he has for us to start with. Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture as you're winning souls to Christ. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, let me just read to you. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." His seed was dead. "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great," what? "Love." First of all, you're loved. God loves you. God loves all people, all humanity. God loves the world. God loves all humanity. And so we find here, he said, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are you saved? And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we find here that Boaz, symbolic, he was a symbol, if you will, of our kinsman redeemer. He was a symbol of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And we find Ruth here would be symbolic of the Gentile nation. It would be symbolic of you and I today. And so we've been redeemed. Boaz has now redeemed, out of love and grace, redeemed Ruth and her family. He has shown grace upon the seed of Elimelech. Well, that's what he did. Now, if you will, look at verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 is, as they now have witnesses and the people witness this, God has recorded for us the prayers for Ruth for us to learn from. The prayers for Ruth that God has revealed for us. As we read this and we understand that God has recorded these prayers, this was what they were asking God for Ruth, the wife now of Boaz, which every one of us could put ourselves, if you're saved tonight, you can put yourselves in that place. And God's recorded this because I believe this is God's will for all of us. This is something that every born-again believer can have. First of all, it says, "The Lord make the women, the woman that is come into thine house, like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. As we know, Rachel and Leah were the wives of Jacob in the Old Testament, and with Jacob, they were blessed to give him 12 sons, which would be the 12 tribes of Israel. The favor of God to be used. He said, that's what I want for you. That's what the prayer is. I want Ruth to be to you as what Leah and what Rachel were to Jacob. And I want Ruth to be able to build the house. I want Ruth to be able to have the favor of God to be used to build the house. I love that part. The favor of God to be used. Oh, that God would work through us. If you're truly born again, you're saved, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you understand that God is real, and He has us here today because there's a work that He wants done. If the work was over, we would all be in heaven tonight. If the work was over, we would be, first of all, at that judgment seat of Christ. As a bride of Christ, as born-again believers, we have that day coming, but that day will not come until the work that God has for us to do is done on earth. And so God would have us to look to Him and say, God, use me to accomplish whatever work that you have for me to accomplish. If you're saved tonight, can I tell you that's where the blessings lie? There's nothing that can take the place in a born-again believer's life other than to know that God is in me and working through me. Yeah. In the New Testament, we find biblical principle revealed to us in New Testament scriptures. We find over in the book of Luke, you don't have to turn there, you know the story quite well. But the story here in Luke in chapter 1 and verse 30, of how that God chose Mary as a vessel to work through. And this is what the Bible says about that. In Luke in chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That means that you have positioned yourself. You are a vessel that God can work through. If you have the favor of God, that means that you are a vessel that God can empower. You are a vessel that God can work through to accomplish His work. That's what they were praying for. That's what's recorded, that they prayed for Ruth, that she would have the favor of God, just like Rachel and just like Leah, that God would be able to work through her to build a house. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Down verse 46, it says this, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. To think that He thought me to be worthy to carry the child of God. For God to think us to be worthy for Him to work through. I want the favor of God. I want the blessings that are associated with the vessel that God has chosen and that God wants to work through. If you're saved, you are a chosen vessel to God. He wants to work through you, but you have to present yourself to be one with the favor of God. Yeah. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. When you know that God is working through you, that causes you to rejoice. When you lead somebody to Christ, whether it's knocking on a door, going door to door, or it's a child of yours or a relative of yours or a co-worker, and they come to you and they ask you, what must I do to be saved? If you're truly saved and you know you have the answer, you know that you can take them to the scriptures, and there's something inside of you that just says, whoo, yes.
and you rejoice over that, and then you're able to lead them, and they actually call upon the name of the Lord, and their eternity, their destiny changes. And they have a smile, and they have rejoicing, and not only are they smiling, and not only are they rejoicing, but you are rejoicing knowing that you were able to help this individual find everlasting life. Yeah. That's the blessings of having the favor of God. The book of Proverbs, let me just read to you. Write these verses down. I'll go too fast for you possibly. But Proverbs in chapter 3, in verse 3 and 4 says this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Truth, mercy and truth forsake. "Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Why? "So shalt thou find favor." You have to deal in truth. You have to deal in righteousness. If you want to find the favor of God, if you want to be a vessel to be able to get the blessings of God working through you, you have to deal with truth and righteousness. "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." The book of Proverbs in chapter 8, just a few verses over, Proverbs 8 and verse 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." Okay, now you want the favor of God, you're looking to just be obedient. Just like any child with their parents, if you want the car keys, you better do what they tell you to do. If they have given you instructions and you don't follow through in those instructions, don't expect them to say, "Here, take my car." Now, they might not let you have the car no matter what you do, but it's at least you have a better chance if you're an obedient child, amen, in favor with your parents. If you're not in favor with your parents, you're not going to get the extras. You're not going to get the blessings. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." When you have the favor of God, your life is different. When you have the favor of God, knowing that God is not only in you, but he is working through you, changes purpose, changes how I look at life. It does. Praise the Lord for that. When you lead someone, have a part in someone getting saved. As a pastor, when I know that I've been used of God to help reconcile a marriage, keeping that family together, I'm jumping up and down, rejoicing, saying, "Thank you, God." There are several families in this church that came because that they were having troubles. And if it was not for God working through this church, they would be divorced and children would have to have three or four sets of parents and on and on and on, but they came and they sought the help of God, and through the counsel of God's word, they were restored. Yeah. Causes great joy. I look around, I see the different ones. It causes, every time I see somebody that I know that God worked through this church to help them, it just brings joy. And I say, praise God. Yeah, it does. And you see those that have overcome addictions. You know, there's members of this church that were alcoholics at one time. There's members of this church that were addicted to drugs. But through their seeking God and God working through this church and the leadership of this church has helped them to overcome addictions. Amen. And every time that I shake one of those hands or I look at them, can I tell you, I rejoice. Yeah, I do. Because that's the work of God being accomplished through us. I want the favor of God. Yeah. So we find here that that's what they prayed for. First of all, they prayed for the favor of God, that God would work through Ruth. He would work through believers today to accomplish his work. Go back with me. It doesn't stop there. Because there's four different prayers here. First would be the favor of God. Favor to be used by God. And if you look there in verse 11 again. Which too did build the house of God. And do thou worthily in Ephratah. And do thou worthily in Ephratah. Ephratah is another name for Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where Boaz lived. Now Boaz and Ruth live together. Worthily is wealth or prosperity. So the second thing that we find that they prayed for with Ruth is wealth and prosperity where you live. Who doesn't want to prosper? Who wants to lose everything you have? Yeah. I don't know of anybody that does not want to prosper. And I guarantee you, I don't know of anyone like God who can make you prosper. Yeah. Wow. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Again, I might go too fast, write it down, because we got several, a couple more here to cover here tonight. But Joshua chapter 1. Joshua leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. God gave him some instructions, but he gave him a promise. And he says this, and this is a promise that God gives you and I today as well. You can have this. You can prosper as God wants you to prosper. Can I tell you, God wants you to prosper. Now, don't get confused. Don't give a definition of prospering with a dollar amount. Amen. Don't have a definition of prosper as what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. Now, all those might be associated to something, but that's not what I'm after. I'm not after the things of this world. I'm after the hand of God upon my life. Because only God can give you what no one else can give you. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Without it, you have no strength. Yeah. So we find here, what does he say? What do I have to do to prosper? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, only be thou strong and very courageous. That's important. I don't stand in the strength of this body and the strength of this mind. I stand in the strength of God. The courage that God gives me. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. I'm just looking again to be obedient to God and what he says, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Now what does God say I need to do to prosper? Just apply his word to my life. Not only when it's convenient, but especially when it's not convenient. Not only when I want to, but especially when I don't want to. Because when you don't want to and it's not convenient, I guarantee Satan is at work somewhere in your life hindering you to doing what God wants you to do so that you can prosper. That's exactly right. That's what the book says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I want to make sure I'm doing it what God says to do, not what man says. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way, there it is again, prosperous, and that then thou shalt have good success. You believe in God, you better believe that truth. That is a biblical principle that every born-again believer needs to claim if you want prosperity. as God wants to prosper us. And God wants to prosper us so that we might accomplish what He has us here to accomplish. Yeah. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. The book of Psalms in chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, this is your blessing, this is what you have to have. My delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. What's that again? Shall prosper. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Do thou worthily wealth or prosperity where you live. There's another. Look back there with me. And you thought we was almost done with Ruth. There's so much there. There's so much here. Chapter 4, verse 11. And be famous. Uh-oh. I can be famous. Be famous in Bethlehem. Again, that's where he lived. Famous. Definition of that word is not what you might think it to be. The definition of that word is to obtain a name. To obtain a name. Proverbs chapter 31 helps to get a little more insight into this idea of a name. Proverbs 31, when you have a virtuous woman, the Bible says in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. He has a name. When he sitteth among the elders of the land. He's sitting among the rulers. He's sitting among the elders. And he is known in the gates. Yeah. It means he has a testimony. He has the testimony of being somebody who focuses on justice. The legal system, they held the courthouse was there at the gates. And he has a name there. He's been placed there along with the elders. Because he has a good reputation. He has a testimony of righteousness. Today, to have a Christ-like testimony is what every born-again believer ought to desire. To let people see Christ in you brings the blessings of God. To know that it's not me. I'm not looking to be seen. And whatever I'm able to accomplish, whatever I'm able to do, I want to give the glory to my Savior. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Old Testament principle, New Testament scripture, if you got it right. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I mean, I died in myself. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you understand the love of God and that he sent his son to die for you and he had you on his mind when he was hanging on the cross, he had everyone that would receive him as their personal Lord and Savior throughout this church age. God had every one of us in mind. And he loved you enough to sacrifice for you. When I understand that, then I want him to be seen. I need to die to self no matter what. I don't want to get the glory. Whatever I'm able to accomplish in this world, listen to me, I'm going to get far more blessing. I'm going to have a lot more joy in not exalting myself, but exalting Christ. I preached in Arizona this last Sunday. I preached with their brother J.C. Joyner. Been in the ministry 60 years. I told his church, I said, I've been 34. I don't think I got another 30 years in me. But he started the church, and the church has turned out so many full-time servants of the Lord. Brother J.C. still got a sharp mind, still does a good job. He taught Sunday school, and I preached for him. This man is the most humble man that I've been around. He has every right to build himself up, but he is the most humble man. And he's accomplished so much. Thank God that I was able to preach at his church and just be around him for a little while. Yeah. Stop thinking about you. Stop thinking about you getting the victory. Stop thinking about you having to be exalted so that people will think something about you. No, that's the wrong way to get it. God wants you to have a name, but the name that God wants you to have is not your name. The name that God wants you to represent is His name. We need to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where the blessings lie. Be famous in Bethlehem. Obtain a name. Yeah. That you walk with God. And you are Christ-like. One more, go back with me. One more. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 12. And let thy house. Now we've seen favor, prosperity, testimony. And let thy house be like the house of Phares. Phares. Whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Wow. Boaz was a descendant of Phares. Phares was a son of Judah who is in the genealogy of Christ as well. Wow. Did they know that God was going to put Ruth in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? But the message here, what he wanted for every born-again believer, is to have a fruitful house. Let thy house be like the house of Phares, who raised a godly seed for God. Fruitful house. What parent looks into the face of their child and says, I want you to grow up to be an addict. I want you to grow up and be poor. I want you to grow up and spend the rest of your life in prison. No, every parent, loving parent, looks into the face of their children and say, I want you to be better than me. I want you to have more than what I ever think of. I want only good things for your life. I want you to grow up and make something of yourself. Be exactly what God has created you to be. I want you to love God. Children that turn out right and are blessed by God. My wife and I prayed for our daughters, prayed for their husbands before we ever knew who they'd be. Prayed that God would just work through us to raise a godly seed for Him. Can't tell you what a joy it is in my heart to know that we have raised two girls that are serving the Lord here in this church and their whole families. Now they're raising our grandchildren to serve the Lord. Yeah. Boy, there's so much joy there. God wants that for every one of us. That's something God wants for you. It'll mean more to you than what you could ever imagine as they get older. But you can't go back and redo it. You have to do it right the first time. You don't have a second chance. Once they're raised, they're raised. There's two mothers in a park. The one sitting there observing how this one mother's children are so obedient. Hers were running, wouldn't listen to her. And she says, oh, I'd give my life to have children like yours. And she humbly looked at her and said, that's what it takes. Put their lives before yours. When you're raising children, put their lives before yours. Do what is best for them. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that when they grow up, you'll have that joy. You'll have the blessings of God in your heart. Knowing that you did all you could to raise a godly seed. That's exactly what their prayer was for Ruth. Favor, God wants you to have His favor. Prosperity, God wants you to have His prosperity. Testimony, God wants you to have His testimony. Godly seed, fruitful house. God wants you to have that. If you look to Him and do things His way, I believe we can have it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. What a blessing to see how they prayed for Ruth and how God has preserved it for us to know what we can have, what God would have for us as the children of God with a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but we always have an invitation. You don't always need the music playing to get you to come forward. God spoke to you and there's something that you need, decision that you need to make, a prayer that you need to pray. You can do it right now in your pew. You can come to this altar, but do it. God spoke to you. Don't give Satan opportunity to steal away that seed. Make whatever decisions need to be made. But have the same desires that the people had for Ruth. That's recorded for us to learn from. Anyone else? And Father, we bow before You tonight. We do love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity it's been just to be in church and for this passage of Scripture that we've broken down and tried to explain and give the the sense, the meaning of, and I pray that we would have received this truth that you have for us and make whatever applications necessary. Now I pray, God, as we get ready to leave tonight, that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.